does God require from parents in training their children? Our primary responsibility is to prepare our sons and daughters to walk according to God's plan and purpose for their lives. Today, Pastor Ron will discuss the significance of instilling the Word of God in our children that they may become all that God has created them to be, with an insightful message titled, Whose Baby Is It?
It's no sense in me going outside and picking up a candle and holding it up and saying, let there be light. What I need to say is, let there be candle. You're not following me yet. See, we got a lot of candle. And we stand out as candle, but unless the Spirit of, you didn't hear me, I'm going to say it again. You were talking just about that time. Unless the Spirit of God enlightens our lives, we may be candles, but we are no light. Church people are good candles. But only Spirit-filled people are good lights. You don't understand what I'm saying when I say, you see, you can have the principles of God. You can look at what God says, and you can direct your life in that. I'm not going to cheat anybody. I'm not going to steal from anybody. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be kind. You can make those decisions. And people may see, you know, you're different. But the light of the world is Jesus. And that light in you, I need to see more than you good. I do need to. I'm going to stay over here. Y'all talking too loud over here to me. Does anybody follow me? I don't want to be a good preacher today. I don't want to be a good preacher. I got a word. I got a word that if we do it well, when I'm going home to be with the Lord, my grandchildren will have a word. Damn. Ain't touch nobody. Well, it's meaningful to me because I realize that had I not had the influence that I had from people who knew the Lord, had I not seen the light in them, I probably would not have a light in me. I really believe. There were deposits. I would not be preaching. I would not be. I would not be standing here today had there not been some preachers with a light and they shoved it down. It was not their preaching that did it. It was their light that did it. See, it's a whole lot of folks can preach real good. They can make you sway to the left and sway to the right and make you lean back and make you stand up and make you throw your handkerchief. But there were some people who had a word from God. And while I did not want to hear it, they stuffed it down. There is a generation that needs somebody to believe what they believe so much. Sit down, y'all. Sit down, sit down. Y'all sit down. I was about to read some statistics. There was no question that children who grew up in fatherless, I'm just going to read some stats about fatherlessness. Whose child is this? Children who grew up in fatherless homes have a much greater risk of major challenges in life than those who grew up with fathers, with a father at home. These statistics are alarming. Now, let me tell you, because I'm about to read some things, I want every grown folks to look at me. Every grown folks. Whether you did right or not, God's word is true. If you got 700 children out of wedlock, I'm talking the word to you. If you don't have any out of wedlock, I'm talking to you. You cannot undo what you have done. But the issue is, you might be able to change some things if you make a decision today about who the child belongs to. You hear me? I come, and God made me aware, I come to bring conviction on us about our assignment. but not condemnation from the Father. Because there are repercussions and there are things that we have done individually. You see, what we do individually makes up with what we do corporately. And our nation is not messed up because you did what you did, if you did it. It's messed up because we did what we did, if we did it. So I want you to understand, I need you to understand because I know you. So I know you that had a baby. I know about abortion. I know stuff. So I have no word for you as an individual today about what you did. I have a word about what God is calling us to in this hour. But I want you to understand these statistics because they will let us know that we're headed for destruction in this nation. We are headed for destruction in this nation. I don't care whether you're a Democrat. I don't care whether you're a Republican. I don't care whether you're a vote. I don't care if you got an anointing on you for, y'all just let me be me. Some of y'all got an anointing for Obama. Obama is not Jesus, and he ain't right because he's black. Everybody ain't going to hell because they don't like your president. You didn't like the last one. I want you to understand, and there are some changes that have to happen. I have come to this. I know this, that the best way for me to move Congress is this way. The best way, because he says, I hear you. Nobody's ever invited me to the White House, but I've been there. Glory to God. Glory to God. You understand that if God has called his people, the world cannot do that. And while we're having fits about some things, and help me, Lord. Don't excuse yourself from your responsibility. You need to know what's going on in your nation. You need to go know what's going on in your community. You need to vote. You need to march for what you believe is right. You need to promote the candidate that you think is righteous, not the one that you think gonna get you something. Yeah, you have that responsibility. Not only do you have that responsibility, you have that privilege. What a privilege it is. But I'm gonna tell you, we've gone so far. Until voting is not going to change it. Oh, Lord. I know I'm going to hear this later. And I'm going to hear you use it as an excuse for not voting. The devil is a lie. And the truth is not in him. But I'm telling you, for the direction that we are on now, voting is not going to change the judgment of God. It's going to be people that are crying out and pulling God's coat and tugging at him and saying, please, please, please. I heard a man say on Monday night, he used the example of Jonah and Nineveh. I don't know what I'm doing. Y'all please stay with me till this evening. He mentioned, because I'm thinking, when I'm talking to God, I'm saying, God, well, I don't know what to do. What is it going to make any difference? If you're showing me, if I'm seeing this, if I'm hearing Ezekiel's words, and I said on this week, the Lord woke me up one morning, and he said, I want you to start studying Ezekiel because I got a word for you. I got some words I need to say to you, and you need to understand them because I want you to give. Because I want you to give those words. And every time I get to a place where it looks so just disruptive, the scripture would come in and change and says, but the remnant. Or he would say, and he'd stop in the middle of this horrific vision. And then he talk about, and the righteous are going to shine forth. Heard a man say the other day, while he was preaching, the other night while he was preaching, he was saying almost exact words I just finished saying or have been saying. And he said, do you remember Jonah and the Holy Ghost just slapped me? He said, do you remember Jonah? He says, you remember how God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to that wicked city and tell him in 40 days, hallelujah, in 40 days, destruction is coming. He said, and the king and the people stop eating. And they said, maybe God will have mercy on us. And Jonah, you know his adventure before that. He'd already come out of the whale. He still smelled like fish. He sat over waiting for the destruction to come, and he was mad. He was mad when the people fasted, when the people sought after God. He was mad when the 40 days was up and nothing.
Now, Pastor Ron, how can we continue to elevate and teach our children godly principles in a world that contradicts Christian faith and values?
It is imperative that we pour the Word of God into our children from an early age. God did not give children to the world. He gave them to parents. His Word is more powerful than the deceptive philosophies of the world, but parents must be prayerful, wise, perceptive, and on guard to prevent the theft of the minds and hearts of our children. Use every opportunity in our everyday discourses with them to infuse them with godly principles.
Well, you've heard it from Pastor Ron. Now let's continue the message. Whose baby is it?
God made something grow up to give him shade. And then when God struck the thing down, he got mad because God took away the shade. He was just like us. He just complained about everything. And it ought to be my way because I'm a servant of the Lord. The Bible says, God told him, hallelujah. He said, Jonah, I wish I'd studied Jonah. I believe it was 3,000. He said, do you know that there were 3,000, I believe it said 3,000, children who don't know their right from their left? Do you know because they turned? It was not my desire to destroy them. But I sent you to give them a word. Once the word was out of your mouth, then they had choice. Jonah, you gave them choice to save themselves. Well, you say, but God had said he was going to destroy them. And he did. He delayed it. Because that generation sought him. You read your Bible. Eventually, Nineveh was destroyed, but not in that generation. Because of their prayer, because they turned, God delayed the punishment. Oh, that blessed me. Back to reading my statistics. Let me talk about what's going on in our nation now, and you look around. Search through and see if you don't see this. First, incarceration rates. Young men who grew up in homes without fathers are twice as likely to end up in jail as those who come from traditional two-parent families. By the way, I have these statistics. I have them, their sources, if you want to get that sometime from me. I'm not going to read the sources, but I have the sources from the research. Those who come from traditional two-parent families, those boys whose fathers were absent from the household had double the odds of being incarcerated. Even when other factors such as race, income, parent education, and urban residence were held constant, still they doubled in the number of those children who incarcerated whose daddies were not in the family. Criminal activity. The likelihood that a young male will engage in criminal activity doubles if he is raised without a father and triples if he lives in a neighborhood with a high concentration of single-parent families. So if the community, not only he has no father, but the community around him, listen, please hear me, but the community around him, I'm not talking about geography. If everybody, all his buddies, and all Miss So-and-so next door, and Miss So-and-so down the road, and Miss So-and-so at church, if all of his surroundings are also fatherless, it triples. Just because of the absence of a man, some of y'all say we don't need anyway. Children in single-parent families are more likely to be in trouble with the law than their peers who grew up with two parents. Suicide. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 63% of children who commit suicide have no father at home. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. If you take into account race, socioeconomic status, sex, age, ability, high school students from a single parent household, they are 1.7 times more likely to drop out than if they had, than are those corresponding peers in the same level who have no father in the home. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school. School children from divorced families are absent more, they're more anxious, they're more, don't get mad at me, hostile, withdrawn, and are less popular with their peers than those with intact families. Now, this is not Bible, and this is not projection. This is what is. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm not preaching you. Now, I'm reading statistics. This is the way it's playing out. Let's look at their educational attainment. Kids living in a single-parent home or in step families report lower educational expectations on the part of their parents, less parental monitoring of schoolwork, less overall social supervision than children from intact families. Mama, you just don't have enough time. You just don't have enough time to be a mama and a daddy. Excuse me, juvenile detention rates. Give me some water, brother. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. Let's look at confused identities. Boys who grow up in father-absent homes are more likely than those in father-present homes to have trouble establishing an appropriate sex role and gender identity. Let's look at aggression. Researchers observed a greater level of aggression in boys from mother-only households, thank you, than from boys in mother-father households. Boys who are out of control are less out of control when daddy. Let's look at delinquency. Only 13% of juvenile delinquents come from families in which the biological mother and father are married to each other. Only 13%. By contrast, 33% have parents who have either divorced or separated, and 44% have parents who were never married. I'm just asking you whose child is. Let's look at sexual activity and teen pregnancy. Adolescent females between the ages of 15 and 19 years reared in homes without fathers are significantly more likely to engage in premarital sex than adolescent females that are reared in homes with both a mother and a father. Children in single-parent families are more likely to get pregnant as teenagers than their peers who grew up with two. I'm just reading. This surprised me, this part. Physical and emotional health. Children from single-parent homes have more physical and mental health problems than children who live with two parents. This is interesting. Additionally, boys in single-parent homes are found to have more illnesses than girls in single-parent homes. Children in single-parent families are two or three times more likely as children to have emotional and behavioral problems. Y'all want me to read some more? Well, I'll just leave that. That was enough to convince you. But let's look at something else, because we're just talking about fatherlessness. But it is alarming. Y'all still here with me? Now, if y'all don't pay no attention to me, I'm going to start calling your name. Y'all be talking and laughing. I'm going to call your name. I'm going to ask you to come up and preach with me. Say, Pastor, I'm just talking about what you're talking about, but talk about it afterwards. Yeah. Let's switch over to some other statistics. Nearly half of pregnancies among American women are unintended. We're going to go back to these two women. You see, they intended to make money, but they didn't intend to have babies. They are unintended. About 40% of these unintended pregnancies are terminated by abortion. 40%. 22% of all pregnancies, that's excluding miscarriages, end in abortion. 85% of all abortions are performed on unmarried women. 85%. Each year, 2% of women ages 15 to 44 have an abortion. Half have had at least one abortion before that abortion. 50% of American women will experience an unintended pregnancy by age 45. 10% of these women will have an abortion by 20. 25% will have an abortion by 30. 30% will have an abortion by 45. 25% of abortions are from women living with a partner.
If you have enjoyed what you've heard from Mount Rose Church of God in Christ, you can order this message via CD number 20131027 or write in to Mount Rose at mountrosecogic.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to serving you again next week from the City of Refuge.